And it's Thursday. It's not 10 a.m. Mountain Time. It's 2 p.m. Mountain Time. But hey, we're just a little late. You know, we have lives. But thanks for joining us anyway. Hey, don't forget, subscribe, ring the notification bell, like us, leave a comment. YouTube really likes that stuff when you do that. So hit the subscribe button. Nothing will happen to you. You won't get emails. You won't get notices. You won't get anything from us. You know, we're not here to sell you anything. So, you know, we're not going to send you our course. So just hit the subscribe button. Hey, it's easy. You can do it while you're watching, actually. It won't go anywhere, change anything, or do anything at all. So, and if you'd like to support us monetarily, hey, we would appreciate that. Patreon is our place to do that. There's a link in the description below and all the benefits we will give you for doing that. And if you'd like to create these on your own, we use StreamYard. It's easy to use. Even I can do it. And, you know, there's a free link in the description below for that as well. So, well, today we got to talk about voting. Voting no longer has any meaning, Shane. The last election was a snafu all over the place. Whether you believe it was rigged or not, doesn't really matter. The voting system has been tainted by the last election. There is suspicion that there may not have been enough fraud to overturn the election, but anyone who thinks there wasn't fraud in the last election somewhere is living in a dream world.
Well, there's no question about that. But the principal importance of the last election and why we wanted to talk about this twofold, of course, with the, you know, the midterms coming up in November is going to be consequential. But more importantly, you know, that we've talked for a decade about the fact there's 245 million eligible voters. That's held strong for over 10 years. Uh-huh. And roughly 61% of them submit ballots. I mean, you know, about 158 million in 2020. Biden got 81 million. Trump, you know, 74 million, almost 75. That was unheard of. That's the most the sitting president's ever gotten in the second election. And then there was another 3 million votes, you know, for the for Howie Hawkins and Joe Jorgensen, a Green Party, and
the other parties, Libertarian, Socialist, Green Party, Constitution, all those. Yeah.
So primarily the issue is your country has been a two-party system since the Republican Party was founded March 20th in 1854, and you know, that was just what, literally 10 years, 8 years before the Civil War. Yeah. And the Democratic Party, of course, has a much bigger history back to 1828. Yeah. And, you know, before that, there wasn't really a designated party. You know, people sort of just ran because there wasn't as big an area. There wasn't as many states.
Yeah.
And it was pretty much an urban and rural vote, you know, urban and rural vote like it is today. Democrats are urban and rural vote.
Yeah.
Republican. So a lot hasn't changed except the number of people that vote.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Jerry would like to know, what if there's no 2024 election? What do we do then?
Well, there's going to be. I mean,
there will be one.
Yeah, there will be one.
I'm pretty sure there's going to be one. Yeah.
One of the dynamics of your republic is that everybody knows.
Yeah.
The first Tuesday of November every 2 years, there's an election.
Yeah.
And a third of the Senate is up for election, and the entire House of Representatives is up. And then you know, every 4 years, the presidency's up. And that's the backstop of your republic. Mm-hmm. I mean, is your republic. You look what's going on in the world today. Sri Lanka, you know, it's now a sovereign bankrupt country because of the Green New Deal and the money they sunk into that and what they did with fertilizers. But, you know, we're going to start seeing this happen a lot. Excuse me, I'm trying to do what I should have done before with my phone. I apologize to the listeners. But, you know, globally, we're going to see failed states. We're going to see we're going to go back to, the, you know, what the baby boomers grew up with, you know, feed the world starving. Well, the world's going to starve. And
yeah.
several hundred million people are going to starve because of what happened with both COVID, shutting the global economies down, and combined with that, this, Green Age, Green New Deal, whatever you want, global warming, whatever you want to call it, psychosis. It's going to affect everybody. And so voting becomes a very important thing. Yeah. And we'll see how it goes. But the great thing about it is more countries are finding the opportunity for their citizens to vote. So on a global scale, it's been very successful in expanding in the last 50 years. So we always want to talk about the U.S., but there's so many attributes to voting that have shown an ability for it to work out for everyone.
That's true. Might not be a constitution in 2024. Well, if there isn't, voting is going to be the last thing we need to worry about. If there's no constitution, because we're going to be in a lot more trouble.
There's already going to be a constitution. It's a matter of whether the politicians
follow.
And the Democrats keep wanting to make this political thing of personality, not policy. Yeah. The Republicans try to stay on policy as much as they can, but they have to answer to the personal attacks.
Mm-hmm.
The interesting aspect of it is getting the word out, which is why we do this. The whole issue about what SCOTUS did with regards to the decision about Roe versus Wade.
Mm-hmm.
Totally constitutional, within the guidelines of the Constitution. And in fact, they said, we're nine guys in black robes. We can't make this decision. The voters have to make this decision.
Yeah,
don't ask us to. We're not here to make that kind of a decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And let me ask you this. Why wasn't the people massing outside the Supreme Court before this decision ever came down? How is that different from January 6th? They didn't go in, but they were still... They were still there to change votes.
Well, and threatening. They were out there threatening.
And their houses. They were at the judges' houses as well.
Right. And so this group that wants legalized abortion, which exists in your country, this group that doesn't want choice to win, which they didn't win. They got a better choice. They get a vote on it. This group that wants to see life extinguished before it has a chance to grow in the womb. They're out there threatening the Supreme Court justices. They're out there indicting the law of the land. And most of them interviewed or that you listen to, they don't even know why they're
out there. They don't know what's going on. They're not even smart
enough to know the legitimacy of their republic and why it works so well. That's why everyone wants to come here.
That's true. Yeah. Well, one of the biggest problems with voting is we keep sending 86% of the people back, Shane.
That's true.
It's not my guy. It's the next state over's guy.
My
guy's great. Your guy sucks or your gal sucks. That's the issue. We keep, I think most of us vote for a yard sign or something. I recognize that name from somewhere. I don't know where, And the people who vote, it's been said that people with advanced degrees, three times more likely to vote. People who have skin in the game, people who own property, people who have higher paying jobs are more affected by what goes on in government than the stock picker at Walmart or someplace like that. And the youth vote you never know what the youth vote is going to do. Sometimes they turn out, sometimes they don't. And they typically look for people their age or younger, somebody 35 or, somebody maybe the age of their father or less.
Well, let's look at the last three presidential elections. Important. Five states, 150,000 votes, only 150. This is like Nixon and Kennedy, but across five states. So five states, same states. With Romney and Obama, mm-hmm. 150,000 shares went a different way for Romney in those states.
Votes, not shares.
I mean votes. I mean, 150,000 votes go the other way.
Get out of the stock market.
Yeah, well, it's pretty important.
I know.
150,000 shares for Romney, and you know, he beats Obama next election.
Yeah.
You know, you see Trump, and 150,000 shares, five states go the wrong way.
Votes,
and you know, Trump doesn't beat Hillary, and the same thing in 20, five states, 150,000 shares, and Biden wins.
Votes, yeah.
I'm having fun with it now.
Well, apparently you are, yeah.
Well, you know, it's a share in your country. Voting is a share in your country.
That's true, it is. Yeah, we're buying a share of how the place runs. But we wonder about that sometimes. So, well, the other thing, as I said, we keep sending 86% of these people back. I'm in favor of the DRIP program, and that is don't reelect incumbent politicians. Let's send somebody new up there, because the ones that are up there now are really screwing it up.
Well, I think the reason that that's not a possibility is because it's not in the Constitution, number one.
Yeah.
So it'd be unconstitutional. Number two, you have experienced in the past efforts by people, Bloomberg in the last election. Look, what I mean, Lee spent what 170 some million, you know, and got walloped thinking he could create a third party. It has happened quite a bit since Teddy Roosevelt in the last 125 years.
We can Bull say, News right? Party, yeah.
That's correct. And populist presidents in your country tend to do very well, But the Democratic Party has always been a stalwart in politics because it's a party of minorities, the Big Ten.
Yeah.
And even though that constitutes around 36% of the public, minorities in this party, what's impressive is that the Republican Party is a solid group. I mean, it's a specific group of people that believe in capitalism. They believe in personal responsibility. They believe in business and, and being in business, and that's, you know, 32 to 34% of the public. Now the thing about it is the people that believe in capitalism pay 80% of the taxes. We know that. We've gone over. And so every time they say all these wealthy people should pay more taxes, well, they're paying all the taxes now. So and I can go through a list of the Democratic Party. You know, racism, Russia, you know, and bigotry, and, you know, all the phobias that they always lean on to press the minorities to come to the tent and vote. Yeah. It's been successful literally for 100 years. And I think in the next three elections, that we'll see a change. I think the biggest minority, though, that probably has had the sway in elections I've looked at in information, sorry, the medical helicopter arriving. Was suburban women. And since the 1958, you know, when urban families moved to suburbia, you know, they become the force of voting.
That'd be right. Yeah. So, yeah. Well, the other thing we up until Roe v. Wade, I think the prediction was pretty easy. Economy's tanking, borders wide open. Crime is rampant everywhere. It seemed like it was pretty cut and dried. I'm wondering how much or how little Roe v. Wade is going to affect this election.
Well, you and I have a breakfast bet on it because you think it will. I don't. I think the problem that the Democrats have is they're not able to scale their policy to people because what they're dealing with is politics of personality and fear. So they propagate fear to maintain their tent concept, and they propagate personality things like I said, racism and bigotry, which to a large degree, it's like you say, a fancy face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the reason I think it may be an issue is. All politics are local.
Absolutely. 100%. That's right.
Yeah. So the five states we're talking about, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Georgia, North, South Carolina, whatever states there are, Arizona, Florida, Texas, whatever state you want to name, the local ballot is going to have something on the local ballot about abortion. And, you know, if the Republicans are happy with that and they turn out, then, you know, then the midterms are going to go Republican. But if the Democrats are unhappy with what the state puts on the ballot for abortion, and I think they're going to put something on the ballots. I don't think they're going to just let the legislatures decide. Maybe they will. Maybe some states will.
Well, in all states at this point, they've either voted for or against it, and either determined how it will be dealt with. They've all done it. So before it's not going to change in Florida and California. You know, you can murder a baby
after.
You murder a baby after.
Those states don't matter.
Murder a baby after birth in West Virginia.
Yeah.
You know, you can have terrible horror stories coming out of Ohio, like we had about this 10-year-old supposed rape that now turns out to be a complete farce. It was just a story to grab the turnstile of news and social media.
But I mean, a state like Pennsylvania, for example, which Trump carried mostly because the rural Republicans turned out in Pennsylvania. It wasn't Philadelphia, and it wasn't Pittsburgh, and it was an outpouring of the people on the farms and small communities in Pennsylvania that turned that for Trump. So
that's right.
The same thing may happen with abortion. Democrats in the rural areas out. I don't know. I'm just saying that's why I wonder. We don't know how this is going to turn out, because this Roe v. Wade is a new wrinkle that we didn't have before.
Well, it's come to the forefront. It's always been there before. People have been.
But it hasn't been on the ballot before.
It's been on the ballot. We've already agreed with that. States like New York and California.
But not in the last two or three elections. It hasn't been on the ballot.
It's always on the ballot. They talk about it like racism.
Well, they talk about it, but the law is, up until Roe v. Wade, it was universal. Now it's not. Yeah.
Well, it wasn't universal. It was allowable.
It was universally allowed. But now it's not. Now it's going to be up to the states. And I think whatever these states decide to do, and you're right, California is not going to change. New York's not going to change. But Republicans didn't carry those states since Reagan anyway. So, what we've got to be concerned with is what's going to happen with Pennsylvania and Ohio and those areas in that East Coast.
Well, yeah, but you got to back up on that real quick, because it's real important. Look. California and New York could be in play if the black vote and the Hispanic vote and women move to the Republican Party. In the next this November election and right into 2024.
If I may, please.
You could see California and New York have easily in each 10 seats moved from Democrat to Republican. If women, African Americans, and Hispanics move to the Republican Party. That's how much in danger the Democratic Party is. If that were to happen, that would mean it's very strong. There's a strong possibility that some urban centers, Atlanta, Baltimore, Philadelphia, Chicago, Detroit, they could all move to the Republican Party.
You're right.
And with the districting you have in your country, the Democrats have always used it to their advantage to create stronger districts of black, women, Hispanics. So now this could work against them. I don't know if it's reaching those people. I think to a large degree it may be.
Yeah.
I also think that the horrific situation that's befalling everyone economically will have the single greatest impact on the election, because it's just going to get worse. My timeline has been dead on.
Right.
I've called it for the last, 7 months since November. What would happen, when it would happen, what month? I called the measure of the market for July, the Fed rate raise, and inflation I called, and even the price of gas. So I'm quite honestly, I'm surprised because I did call for August to see 125 to 30, 35 oil. But the staggering reality is, even though it's down to 95.99, the price is not coming off. Well, that tells you that it doesn't matter what the price is. There's still not enough supply for what's needed in the system.
True.
So it's it's not predicated on price.
Yeah.
It's simply the infrastructure of the system, you know, moving enough oil to where it's needed.
Yeah. Well, we're going to, and I agree with you. New York's abortion isn't going to change. So that's not going to bring voters out. And California, same thing there. Illinois, same thing there.
I really believe that.
Yeah. So we're still up in the air on whatever's going to happen in those swing states, though, the Rust Belt states, as to what they do, because those have been back and forth the last couple of elections. You know, Trump got them, and then, you know, Obama got them, and then Trump got them, and, you know, then Biden got them back. So,
well, you know, and the Democratic Party has always had this hard belief of open border to get Hispanics in to vote for them. So when you see the first Mexican-born woman who legally came to the United States, marries a border policeman, has a family, lives on the border in Texas to Mexico, and then and wins a seat that's been Democratic for, are you, hold on, 150 years.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
That says a lot, doesn't it?
You know, you got to give your head a big shake on that one.
Yeah.
How do I measure that?
Yeah.
Against every other seat out there. I mean, that when you, I can't believe. Well, a couple of places have tried to make a story about it, but not the 150-year thing. And I mean, it's and then of course be attacked. You know, personally attacked by Democrats.
Oh yeah.
You know, for being a Hispanic woman. Like
I know. Doesn't matter as long as you're the wrong party. We don't care what color you are. We don't. Tim Scott, Uncle Tom. You
that's
know?
Right. You know, that's where,
that's right. Beto O'Rourke is going to change his name. I'm pretty sure.
Well, you know, historically, since 1928, I think it is, whatever, the midterm elections, the party in the White House has lost an average of 26 seats. That's just that's what's happened.
That's what happens every midterm for whatever
that's
reason.
Right. Clinton, you know, and Biden's no Clinton.
Yeah.
Clinton got swanked in 94.
Mm-hmm.
Obama got swanked in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Those two elections, you know, confirm back to back decades with
and Trump did too. You know, all the things.
Oh well,
he
that's
did.
Right. And Trump did. Yeah. So I'm looking like not at 26. I'm trying to look at the you know, the races and what the situation is. I you know, 50 to 65 or 65 to 70 seats switch out. Democratic Party becomes a regional party. It's really locked out of national politics.
Well, I you know, we'll have to bet a breakfast on it. I think they're a little high. The reason I say that is that 86% of the incumbents are going to be back in their seats. You know, I mean, that's just been historic.
Not after that win in Texas.
Well, you know, I mean, we've had historic wins, you know, other places too.
Yeah,
I
but mean, the Congress, the Democratic congressman and, replaced.
Yeah.
You know, he's been there 15 terms, 30 years.
Yeah. No,
30 years.
Yeah. It happens, you know. But there's nothing to say that when she's up for a vote again in 2 years in 24, that, or 26 rather, that, she won't be gone.
She has to run. No, actually, she has to run
every 2 years.
No, but she has to run in November again.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because
so she has to win again in November.
Yeah, so that's why I say she could be kicked out in November.
Won't happen.
Okay, well, we'll see.
No, it's pretty significant. No, I'm just saying that minority.
It's been there for 150 years.
You look at who voted for it, Thomas. It was strictly minorities.
Yeah, sure.
That moved and voted. Women, minority, Hispanics, women, you know, they move big time to her.
Yeah. Well, I think I think the minorities in these big cities have got to be, you know, I mean, they've always had crime in their areas, but it's more rampant than ever before, you know, in their low-income areas.
1968 was pretty brutal, Tom.
Well, that's true. It was, yeah.
And then you had that case, of the killing in L.A., King. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and
well, they didn't kill him. They beat him up, but they didn't kill him.
Well, no, I'm sorry. You're right. I apologize. I was trying to think ahead. But King, the King issue showed how horrific, unleashed anarchy can be in your country. You know, you have a great police infrastructure across your country. I mean, as local police, like we say, all politics are local. I mean, you don't have anywhere near a police force for the city of Bozeman that you have. We don't have anywhere near, enough Royal Mounted Police. Our province pays the federal government to sit here because they don't want to pay for a provincial police.
Yeah.
So we don't have, there's just no way that we have any that we could prevent anarchy. We don't have a National Guard like you.
Yeah.
So, it's tenuous in some countries.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is turn on the TV and see. I mean, they're rioting in China. Did you see that this week?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're rioting
in Sri Lanka too.
But China, they're rioting because the Chinese government shut these people's bank accounts down 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And they're rioting in Beijing saying, open the banks. We want to access to our money.
Yeah.
And they can't even get access to those accounts on their phone because that's how they're all doing banking.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's big problems, buddy, everywhere.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I'm glad the only place that they can get across is Mexico.
Well, also they
big oceans on the rest of it.
They're of course trying to recall the LA district attorney. Somewhere else they recalled one and some
San
woman
Francisco
took his. That's right. Yeah, San Francisco took.
Look at this district attorney in New York with this bodega shop owner getting charged with.
Oh yeah,
second degree murder.
I know.
Like,
yeah.
Thomas,
I don't think a jury's going to buy that. I just don't.
Well, it depends if it's made up of.
I mean, we haven't seen the whole film. We've seen clips here and there, and
doesn't matter.
The jury'll see it all. That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
he defended himself. They went in there to rob him, and it turned into whatever. The point being, though, is that there's so much information, media, with the social networking that exists today, people can get a lot of it as it's spanning, as it's streaming, as it's coming to them.
Sure.
By choice. And, they can watch and see by choice what they want to.
Yeah.
But, when the media starts shifting, it's like what Boris Yeltsin said about resigning as the head of the party in England. When the herd moves, when the herd shifts, you're SOL, right?
Well, one thing I'll predict for you, Shane, that when I would say 1st of September, perhaps, that's when you're going to see massive, massive, massive censorship on social media.
Well, they'll have to. Here's why.
Anything anti-Biden is gone. It will not
be there. Here's why. The Fed will increase the Fed rate by 0.75 points, 0.75.
Yeah.
That's going to have it's a huge mistake, but that's
what it is.
Do.
Yeah, there's no,
and,
no way
and
around
as,
it.
As I've declared, they're doing this for one reason: people have they need banks to buy more debt, they need investors to buy more debt. Number two, this is going to get bad. The stocks are on a discount; they're going down another 20-30%. I really believe between now and August.
Yeah.
The consumer index is going to get crushed because all people can afford is gas and food. And now it's a switchback.
Yeah.
Like 3 months ago, it was hard. I'm buying my food, gas is getting expensive. But now it's swapped. Now I have to buy gas or I can't get food.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well,
huge.
Well, and for a lot of people, you gotta decide between food, gas, and medicine. That's another biggie. So.
And that's a big voting class, right?
It is. You're right. Yeah.
The baby boomers and the great society or the great generation that's left. Yeah. Those are basically folks, those over 60.
Yeah.
And because 80% of them vote. 80% of them vote.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if they're black, white, red, or yellow. Yeah,
and even some of them that are dead boat.
Well, that's true. Particularly in Illinois, where I'm from.
or Georgia. Yeah. Or Pennsylvania. Yeah.
Oh, well, I don't know. I don't know if we've solved anything on.
We have. We have. We always do.
Well, I guess that's true.
Eagle Man, you are just dynamic. You lead the charge on this, and we make it interesting, and we have fun. I like bashing you as hard as I can, but you're so robust. And you're a lot bigger than me, so
well, that's true.
I'm glad I'm not in the studio, you know, like I used to be when we do the show there. On Saturday,
you come up to my armpits, I think.
That's right. That's barely, and that's sitting down.
Yeah, I know.
On a stool.
Well, Jerry, gas and meals are already cheaper in Mexico, and we're wondering if censorship may have already been ramped up. I just think it's going to get off the charts come September. That anything negative about the Democrat Party is just not going to show up on your social media anywhere, any shape or form. So you're going to have to find, other sources of information.
Right. And the great importance of what Tom is telling you folks, and this is on the record, is that it will show how irrelevant CNN, ABC, NBC, ABC, the networks, CNN and CNN, CNN, ABC, whatever. Those five networks are New York Times, Washington Post. They've all turned on Biden now, all of them. So
yeah, they have to a certain extent. Yeah.
That's right. So now you're going to find out how irrelevant they are because no one's watching them. It's too late. They ruined their brand. They ruined their brand.
Well, also, I think if you want to look on the Republican side, I think Trump is shooting himself in the foot by continuing to talk about this election.
Oh, you should you should have seen him in Alaska. I'm sorry. I just wanted to tell you this. Yeah. Best new stump speech he's had in 4 years.
Well, good. Well, I hope so.
Yes, he mentioned the election briefly. No, just briefly.
All right. Well, I hope he puts that to bed.
Well, he can't because the Democrats don't want to either. So he has. I disagree. You know, but we'll see where that goes. But no, this Trump's stump speech was incredibly fabulous. I mean,
okay. What I was going to say, the comparison I was going to make, is if Trump knocks off, talking about the election and moving forward, not
he did
reliving the past. That's great. That's great that he did. But the other comparison, if you allow me to make it.
I can't. I have too much to say.
Okay. The other comparison is the Democrats are also shooting themselves in the foot with these stupid January 6th hearings. I mean, they haven't produced anything. Nobody really cares.
It's a clear abuse of power. I don't mean to interrupt you, but it's the exclamation point on what you're saying, because I agree with you 100%, is they don't call the Secret Service men. They don't call Pelosi and the mayor and explain why they turned the troops down that Trump ordered up. Like there's four or five major things.
We're not here to cash that out, but I'm just saying that things. Well, I don't want to go far afield here. Those two events offset each other to my thinking. I mean, left wing women set off a bomb in the Senate in 1989. Nobody set off a bomb on January 6th, though.
The bombing of pro life businesses.
Oh, yeah. And stuff.
You know, it's like there's like where are the police? You know, where's the Justice Department? You know, where's the racist accusations against pro-life people being attacked? And again, people look, they're pro-choice people out there.
Oh, lots of them.
That are moderate and going, oh no, why are the people I'm supporting bombing these places?
Well, that's what I say. Roe is going to be in the media is not going to let it die. The closer it gets to election, the more Roe is going to be on front pages everywhere. So, I'm just preparing you for it.
You don't have to. I agree with you 100%.
All right. Sounds good. Mm-hmm. All right. That may have wrapped it up here.
You do. You do every week, every day, every podcast. You're the man.
All right, man. You know? All right. Let's not forget, hit that subscribe button. Ring that notification bell. I mean, blast that bell. That thing is stronger. It's not cracked like the Liberty Bell. It's solid. You can smash that that bell, and that'll let you know anytime we're going to be on, no matter what your time zone is. You don't have to worry about it converting Mountain Time to wherever. You know, and like us, leave a comment, let us know what you'd like for us to talk about, because we would love to tackle your topics. And also, happy to do it. All right. The other thing I have to remind you of course, is that the award-winning Tom and Shane, we're on radio every Saturday, 8 to 11 Mountain Time, limited commercial interruption. Listen live at KMMSAM.com. Click listen now. Nothing to join, no sign up, no email. You can listen to us in your underwear. We won't even know.
Yeah, it's great. It's KMMSAM.com around the world. So
yeah,
I can't believe, wow, at this time in my life, in this century, this decade, and this week, I will be live around the world for 3 hours with the greatest producer, director, and host there is, the Eagle Man, Thomas Eaglehawk.
All right. And look at that. There's five, four M's. I mean, you don't even have to memorize a whole bunch of letters.
Those are my initials, KSM.
KMMSAM.com. Click listen now, and you'll get us. But just in case you're not around, and why would you not be? But if you're not, well, past shows are also at KMMSAM.com. Click on Tom and Shane's podcast. And we're also on iHeartRadio, iHeart.com. Just click on podcasts. And we are the first one. So get it. Do a search for Tom and Shane, of course.
Well, yeah. And get up Saturday morning and have your coffee. Yeah. And then turn it on while you're making brekkie.
Or it may be midnight in some parts of the world we're on. So that's good for you. We'll put you to sleep. It'll work out. It'll work out great. So, all right, that's going to wrap it up for us. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Shane, for being here. And we will see everybody at 10 a.m. on Thursday. Bye for now.